Chapter 11. Helen was coming down the hallway as they left Nan's apartment.
Glad you could make it, Helen, Ida said sarcastically.
Sorry, but you won't believe why I was late, Helen huffed. I caught Mario Blondini looking in my windows. I knew he was spying on me, probably trying to get a leg up on the election. Well, two can play at that game. Come on.
Helen did an about-face and headed back toward the stairs. Lexi, Ida, Ruth, and Nance did double time to catch up.
How would spying on you help in the election? Ida asked.
Who knows? But I'm going to show him he can't mess with me. Blondini lives in one of those single-family homes on Oak Street right around the corner, and I'm going to show him that he's not the only one that can spy.
Helen glanced at the grocery bag loaded with books that Ruth was struggling along with.
What's that?
They told her about their plan to visit the jail on the pretext of donating books. Helen nodded approvingly.
Good. I did some more research on that Broadmoor heist. Remember that Cassie heard the Circo Acrobata might have been involved in it? I have a suspicion.
Oh, what? Lexi asked.
I think Rosa might have been involved, but I need to talk to Vinny first.
Helen turned down Oak Street, full speed ahead.
If she was, that could shed new light on why she was murdered, Nan said.
Shh, this is his place here.
Helen stopped in front of a nice brick colonial-style home located in the single-family dwelling section of the retirement village.
Okay, let's sneak around the side.
Helen pushed her way through a shrubbery, and the rest followed, disregarding that it was broad daylight and anyone could see them. Helen appeared determined to be sneaky, crouching down low and scurrying over to the corner of the house, then flattening herself against the warm bricks as she made her way to the back. In back, she stopped in front of a large bay window. Standing on tiptoes, her nose was even with the bottom of it. They all peered in.
Looks like he rushed out. I hope he doesn't think he's going to crash the book club meeting. That's where I was campaigning this morning.
Helen glanced at her watch.
I didn't see him there, and it's over now, so if that's what he was up to, he's too late.
It was a dining room, the long table set as if ready for brunch. The room was decorated lavishly with a crystal chandelier, rich, dark-colored walls, and heavily carved antique furniture. Gorgeous vases loaded with flowers stood on several sideboards and in the middle of the table. A large grandfather clock in the corner chimed, making them all jump. 10 o'clock. Luckily, the house appeared empty. The last thing Lexi wanted was to have the police summoned and have Jack arrest her for being a peeping Tom. On the table, gold linen napkins sat next to settings of fine china. Cut crystal glasses sparkled near sterling silver flatware. The sideboard was filled with serving dishes. A three-tiered platter held pastries. Lexi squinted to get a better look. Had those come from her bakery? She spied the bakery box on the hardwood floor beside the server. Not hers. Hers had a pink cup on the top, and this one had a blue bee. I guess they don't have good taste. The baked goods came from another bakery.
Shameful.
Ida shook her head.
I don't see anything shady in there,
Nan said to Helen.
Look closer. There's got to be something, Helen said. Look at all the stuff he has. Is that real gold? And what about that china? It looks like those Limoges could be worth a lot.
So, none of this means he is doing something shady with the election, Ruth said.
Helen glared at her.
He is? You saw him move my signs. You're just making excuses because you have a thwack.
A knife quivered in the window trim right next to Helen's head. And they turned to see Rosa's cousin glaring at them with flat, dark eyes.
You people are trespassing.
Ida fisted her hands on her hips.
Who are you?
William Blondini. This is my uncle's place.
His gaze shifted to Helen, his eyes narrowing.
I know who you are. You're the lady running against my uncle. What are you doing peeking in his windows?
We weren't peeking in any windows.
Ruth held up the bag of books in her hand. We were dropping off a book.
A book?
William didn't look convinced.
Then why are you skulking out back?
We usually drop them off on the back porch. It's a thing.
Ruth plucked a book out of the bag and trotted over to the deck, putting the book onto a chair. She turned and looked at William.
See?
I think you were spying.
William reached past Helen, causing her to shrink back. He pulled the knife out of the wood, looking at the blade as it glinted in the light. Helen scuttled away from him. He gave her a sinister smile.
Don't worry. If I wanted to hit you, I would have. I have perfect aim, you know.
That's very nice, Nan said. I bet that comes in handy with the circus show. Now, we've delivered the book and must be on our way.
She started off toward the street.
Toodles,
Ida said, falling in step behind Nan's.
Nice meeting you.
Ruth hurried past him to catch up with Nan's. Lexi pushed Helen in front of her and brought up the rear.
You ladies better be careful. Leave my uncle alone. And mind your own business if you know what's good for you. I'll be watching.
Lexi looked over her shoulder at William, who was flicking the knife back and forth in his hands. She suppressed a shudder and hurried to the street. Suddenly, the visit to the jail and talking to felons seemed mild compared to a knife-throwing Blondini.